All right, guys, welcome back into the Trail Count Podcast, episode 13, part 2. We do apologize. We had a few issues going on, but we got that fixed, and then we're back in. Welcome back in. And I know from part 1, Jules, you were speaking about the CM Punk, Jey Uso. So what were you saying about that?
Yeah, so what I was saying about that was basically, yeah, CM Punk basically... Yeah, might as well give him the world. Might as well go ahead and give him the world title at the end of the day. And I could see, definitely could see some beef between Jey and Jimmy down the line.
Oh, yeah, because you were saying Jimmy cost him the title. I mean, not on purpose, but then, but is it on, well, would it be on purpose? Well, it'll probably just, well, I think it'll be an accident, and then maybe, like, it'll be an accident, but then Jey is going to think, oh, but then this may end up, Jey's already having this conflict with himself where he's like, oh, he doesn't really know who he wants to be, right? And I think maybe, because we've seen a heel out of everybody. We've seen, obviously, we've had Roman, obviously, heel. We've had Jimmy as a heel, right? I guess we did have Jey as a heel, but that was like in the bloodline, whatever. But that wasn't even, it really is kind of like, was he really ever truly a heel? Because even like with the whole bloodline days, it was like, okay, like, yeah, I feel like Jimmy was the actual real heel out of the Usos all these years. Because even when, remember, like, even when, you know, they were with following Roman, yeah, it was always like Jey was kind of just doing whatever he was told type thing. So, so really, in a weird way, I feel like, to me, Jey has really never been a true heel. To me. Because he was the first one in the group that stepped up to Roman. Right? And everything like that. So, I feel like this whole time he hasn't been. He's kind of just been doing it for the family or whatever, right? So, do we see maybe a Jey Uso heel turn?
We gonna see it. I think we really gonna see it now. Where this heel turn gonna take place?
Survivor Series.
I think that's where it could take place. I think that's, and I think that's a good place to do it. I mean, you know, you win the brand new. He bring me Petco Park, new first time being there. Why not have a big shocking moment like that? And, you know, do it that way. You have to take a look at it. You know, Jimmy is kind of on his own path and want to do what he want to do, like, type of deal right now. And so, Roman is kind of like, here we go, is kind of like the peacemaker, pretty much, in all this between the two, trying to keep the two coincided, whatever the case is. And my thing is, yeah, Jimmy just goes off the rails. I mean, Jey just goes off the rails and snaps.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. So very, I mean, there's just so many different things that they can do.
They could really,
right?
Jimmy, I mean, if you really want to look at it too, well, as we seen tonight, Jimmy could be the one too, also to snap, since he got thrown out that battle royal. You know,
but then Jimmy's just coming off of that whole heel thing, where it was him and Jey Uso. And Jimmy was the bad guy, and then Jey was the face. So I feel like if you do that, you're just going back up that road again.
Right, true.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but I think that's what they kind of try to do. I feel like they kind of try to give Jimmy a little bit more edge. Like, and especially like what he did tonight when he was, you know, when he was, you know, the whole, when, you know, when he was looking at, like, Jey and Roman, you know, looking at them all crazy, kind of envious when they were talking with each other. They kind of tried to make it seem like, oh, he's jealous of the relationship that Roman and Jey have. You know what I mean? Or then also tonight, like when he was telling him, hey, you know, you got to get yours because I'm going to get mine. You know what I mean? So I think that's kind of what they want us to think. They want us to think that, like, oh, yeah, eventually Jimmy's going to go back to his old ways, when really it's going to be Jay that turns on Jimmy. Because we haven't had that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know. And then, of course, we're probably going to get that down the line where, you know, you guys are eating with me and all that. And, you know, I'm with the kids and stuff like that. And, you know, he going to put on that heel persona we ain't really never seen before. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, typical Bloodline writing. This is what, a 5-year storyline, whatever it is. like
it's going on forever.
Yeah, basically 5 years.
You still haven't even really done stuff too much on SmackDown with that whole crew over there. So.
Oh, the MFT, but they're doing the whole beef with the Wyatt Six,
which I don't really like, but.
Come on, man. We're gonna see what they look. We gotta talk more about that. We're gonna see what they do, bro. But look, check it out. Even though I did the Wrestle Dream review the other day, you weren't on that show, but that's already posted. But going kind of back into Wrestle Dream, what I did want to talk about is the first thing. So here's the thing again, and I've always said, even though I be talking trash about AEW, I really enjoy AEW pay-per-views. I really, really do. I have Ricardo. What's going on? What's going on? Thanks for coming into the show, man. Huh?
No, I was telling him. I was saying what's up to him.
Okay. So with AEW, bro, it's like, I mean, first of all, the shows are very long, which is fine. Whatever. Because that's what they do, right? So the whole card was pretty good. The only thing, which I spoke about this on my last show the other day, but the Hangman Samoa Joe match, I don't know what happened there, because I felt like I was watching an episode of Dynamite. Like, I feel like that match could have happened on Dynamite. It didn't give me like, oh man, this is a pay-per-view. I mean, yeah, like they had a decent match, but it wasn't. I expected, because we've seen the matches that Hangman can put on. We've seen the matches that Samoa Joe can put on, right? And I was actually excited for that match. I was like, okay, these guys are gonna put on like a 5-star like match of the year candidate match, and it didn't happen. I was like, oh, like I honestly checked out of the match. I was barely watching the match, like, because it didn't catch my attention. And then it ended very abruptly, right? Obviously, you had Hangman retain, huh?
What I think saved that end with save that match or whatever the case was the turn by Samoa Joe.
But I saw that coming too, though, because they were already having beef anyways on Dynamite. They were already talking, like, Samoa Joe, they already had like beef. So what you mean, like the ops, though, the whole group itself? Okay, yeah, I can see that, yeah. But then I was like, even with that, I felt like, okay, Samoa Joe, well, to me at least, Samoa Joe is the leader of the op.
Right.
So if my leader has beef with you, I'd most likely have beef with you. You know what I'm saying? So even with that, I was like, okay, you know.
It kind of put Will Hobbs in a different position. He never been too much into the world title spotlight and stuff like that. So I guess it was kind of good to kind of see him like.
But he's been there. He's been there almost from the start. So for him not to even ever have, I don't think he's even ever had a world title storyline.
He had one title shot.
What's up? Thanks for coming into the show, guys. Now go ahead. What were you saying?
I think he had like one title shot, and I believe that was on like episode, and then that was kind of it. So like to really have a full blown like one on one match on a like say pay per view or something like that, no, I don't think he's had that yet. Which he should have one, because the man is, like I'm saying, too talented.
Well, like that. So when you think about the pillars, if you know, they're always talking about pillars all the time. If you think about pillars of AEW, I got to put Will Hobbs up there. So, I don't know. That's a whole nother episode to talk about. The booking of AEW, that's a whole nother two-hour pod. We're not even gonna do that. You know what I'm saying? Because we're gonna be on here for a whole another hour, okay? And it's like 12:30 here on the West Coast, and I would like to hop on 2K25 before I go to bed, and then you know, and get my last protein shake in, you know, and all that good shit. But anyway,
So, of course, you know, and I know you already reviewed this already, WrestleDream, of course, Mercedes winning.
Oh, no, how could I? This wasn't even in my notes. I don't know how. You know what? Because I was busy tonight. I was doing schoolwork, and I was doing other shit. And I'm not going to lie. Like, I rushed the pod, you know, because I write the pods before we get on. So, and I take notes. I write the pods. And I did not write her in. But I'm thankful, you know what? But that's why I have you here. So first of all, we gonna take some time, cause I have one more AEW bullet point. But we gonna take our time with this nonsense right here. We gonna take our time with this, cause first of all, whatever. At WrestleDream, she beat Mina Shira Kyle. How you say her name, right? Shira Kyle, right? And I think at that moment, that was belt number, what was that, 11 or 12? Was it? 11. So, and the purpose, because people, fans everywhere, including myself, have been saying that, oh, well, you know, her having all these titles doesn't have any type of meaning or whatever like that, right? So, now, at the moment that she won title 11 at WrestleDream, it did actually have a meaning because it beat the record of Ultimo Dragon, right? Ultimo Dragon, okay? Okay, cool. You want her to beat this record? Okay, cool, right? Because WWE basically did the same. Well, I guess I'm not going to compare the two, but I guess I already did. I guess I'm already there. But I'm already there. But it isn't the same thing, but it's the same concept. So I got to be fair to AEW. If I'm going to justify, you know, them, I mean, which John Cena get beating Ric Flair's record. Okay, but that's John Cena beating Ric Flair's record, obviously, right? Because WWE, my whole point is WWE puts people in positions all the time to break certain records when they want them to break the record. So in this case, they had Mercedes in position because they wanted her to break the record. Got it. Okay, so you get the number 11 and you beat the Dragon record, right? But then here's the problem, right? WrestleDream is over. You've beaten the record. You now have 11 championships. I wake up in the morning, and before I can even brush my teeth and wash my face, I turn on my cellular device, and I see that you now, for no reason whatsoever, have won a 12th championship. I don't even know when she even had time to win the 12th champ because I'm trying to figure out what. When this even happened, because I'm confused. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, okay, because.
I'm now meaning to cut you off. So this is what I, because me and my friend was discussing this earlier too as well. I was like, hey, I know you saw Mercedes win that 12th championship. And I said, well, what are we doing? What are we doing? Is there a direction here? One or two things is going to happen. I know she's not going to go back to every single promotion and drop all of them belts.
Well, that's another question I have on several different levels, because I don't know where to even start. Well, first of all, like you said, the title defense of it all. Now, I don't know how Ultimo Dragon did it back in the day, but I mean, like you said, is she going to go defend all those? And then, like, what if she gets hurt? Then what?
Here's kind of what I was thinking out. I said, well, the only, if she doesn't go to every promotion and drop those belts, then I say the next best thing is she's gonna have a meltdown. So what's gonna happen is Tony Khan will come out, be like, hey, Mercedes, look, you got all these belts. You know, you have me defending them in such and such time. I'm going to have to strip you all the belts, and you're going to have to take them back.
They ain't going to do that, because this ain't WWE.
She just challenged, and then she just challenged Chris Statlander at Full Gear.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. I'll tell you right now. If she wins this championship at Full Gear, I'm going to crash out. I'm sorry. My boy, what's he saying? She should come back. Yeah, she ain't coming back. She's already said she's not coming back for WWE. As a matter of fact, she's so passionate about not coming back to the point she made a whole, what is it, a video or a post? Or it was a post that she made where she's like, hey, don't even ask me about coming back. Like, she's just totally just, which is whatever. I don't care if she ever comes back.
Triple H gave her the option. He said, look, you know, I'm forcing her to come back. Hey, she can come back whenever she wants. The door is always open. That's the way he put it. And he just kind of left it at that. So, I predict she will come back, but it'll be at her own time. She won't be no more Sasha Banks.
She ain't coming back, man. I mean, here's the thing, right? I'm not mad at her. If she comes back, that's great. But I don't think she will. She's already said that she's not. But then, you know what? You had CM Punk, who was in the news for a long time. And CM Punk, when the same thing, when somebody would bring up coming back, CM Punk was like, I ain't never coming back. And he would talk trash and he would say, at the time, I believe that CM Punk believed that he was not going to come back. You know what I mean? But then, you know, people change, situations change. So who knows? But I don't think it'll be anytime soon. I don't think that we'll see that. But yeah, this title, I don't even know what to, like, dude, she's like the Thanos of pro wrestling, collecting all the Infinity Stones and shit. Like, what's going on? She's going to snap her finger and... But then some of these fans though are like, so again, it's annoying, but it's not like, oh, it's ruining my pro wrestling experience. Like, some of these fans are a little bit over exaggerating, because I've seen some comments where they're like, oh, she's ruining pro wrestling. And I'm like, she's not really ruining pro wrestling, because first of all, half of those titles I've never heard of. Like, I don't even like, but and that might just be me, because I'm a mainstream fan where I mostly watch, you know, TNA, AEW, WWE. So maybe, like, you know, if you're super into the indie stuff, which I'm trying to get into, like New Japan, maybe like people have heard of certain titles that she has, but I haven't heard of most of them because I don't watch that stuff.
So rest of all those titles are pretty much from, say, like the UK. Over there, and I think Australia, stuff like that, like little indie promotion. Some are here in the U.S. too as well. But right now I just can't see her dropping all 12 of them belts going back like that.
Yeah, so I mean, are they gonna like unify some like these, I don't know. And we got my, he's saying, is she getting paid more? I mean, well, obviously, well, I think obviously, well, she definitely gets paid for the appearances. I don't know how that's in. I think what it is, obviously, she's under contract with AEW, and like if she goes to another promotion for a title defense or a match, she obviously gets paid for the appearance. I'm pretty sure she's getting paid pretty good money to come out. And I mean, I guess if you want to look at it that way, it's, I guess, good exposure for smaller promotions, because maybe I've never heard of your promotion, but then all of a sudden you got Mercedes Moné walking around as your champion. But here's the problem with that. While you would think that, okay, hey, it's great exposure, it would be if that was the only belt she had. Like the Hardy Boys, okay, even though they have multiple titles, but it's not like super crazy. Like, okay, yeah, they have the TNA tag team titles, they got the NXT titles, and they have the Hog, or what's it called, the Hog? They have the Hog tag team titles, right?
N2G.
Right. So for me, I was like, oh, I've heard of Hog here and there, but I don't really watch their stuff. But then when I was like, oh man, the Hardy Boys are the Hog tag team champions. Hey, let me go check this stuff out now. Let's see what's up, right? Like stuff like that. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like to me, that's exposure. They got three sets of titles, but it's not like 12 sets of titles. Now, if the Hardy Boys did have like 12 sets of championships, I would probably wouldn't even bother even looking to see which ones they were. Like, I'd probably be like, oh, okay, whatever, they have way too many belts. Like right now, I've still haven't had time. I haven't taken the time to even look up what belts she has, because I'm so distracted by the fact that she has like 20 of them. Like with the Hardy Boys, they have like three. So it's like, oh, okay, let me go see what else they picked up. Okay, cool. Let me go check that out, right? So that works in that aspect, right? But it's just total. And you had some fans trying to compare the two. And I'm like, first of all, this is the Hardy Boys, right? And I'm not saying like Mercedes is a nobody, but next to the Hardy Boys, like these guys are like first ballot Hall of Fame legends, like, you know what I mean? Like that. And they only have three sets. And then all three sets actually make, well, at least the two that I know, like the two, they make sense. They had already had the TNA tag titles for a long time, right? Way before this other stuff happened. And then the NXT titles, they got those. I mean, that can be up for question, but I mean, I wouldn't even call it up for question. I think for them, they had never held those titles. So that was just like, you know, like a stat pattern, you know what I mean? For them or whatever on the way out, like, you know, and that's cool. You know, I'm cool with that. But like, you know, and that happened off the, I mean, each one has a meaningful story to it. Like they had the whole feud going down with the Dark State, you know what I mean? And then they beat Dark State for the titles. Okay, whatever. Now, I don't know about I don't watch Hogs. So I don't know how that came about, but the same thing. I'm pretty sure it actually at least made sense, right? So everything they've done so far has made sense. With Mercedes Moné, it's like you wake up the next morning and before you can even get your coffee, she's magically won a title for no reason. So that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? And again, I'm not watching all these promotions or whatever, or trying, you know, or seeing where they're going with the storytelling, but I'm just saying, like, so, yeah, I mean, definitely all eyes on her right now, man, like with these titles. I mean, whether you like her or you hate her, she's definitely getting the attention of everybody. I'm just curious to see how many more she's going to win. And then I'm curious to see if she's going to beat Chris Statlander. You know what I mean?
I just don't think she's going to. I don't think she's going. I'll put it like this. If she does beat Chris Statlander.
That's terrible story writing if she does.
And if she does, she's definitely going to have to drop the rest of them belts.
I don't know about that. But So I think they'll just add it on like belt number 13. Like, but what I'm saying is like, so.
My thing is this: she's gonna beat the TBS and the World Women's Title.
Oh, I see what you're saying. She's got. But I mean, there's nothing saying that you can't have the mid card title and the world title.
So she carries both of those belts, but she gotta let go of the other belt. Because the other promotions, they gonna want their belt back.
So. No, but where are you getting this from? Ain't nobody gonna. I think your fan theory is just you're hoping they ask for the belts back. But nobody's gonna call her and be like, oh yeah, we saw that AEW win. So now you gotta give me. No, like that's not a thing. Like that's how you sound right now. Here's the thing. We're both on the same side of that we find this ridiculous, right? And that it does need to stop and it does need to come to an end. I'm with you on that. But what you're just coming up with these theories about how she should get, and that's not gonna happen. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. But I mean, something's gonna have to give at some point. What I think maybe is that she retires at some point and then vacates them all and they all go back to the promotion. I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that too.
You know what I mean? I could see that. But as far as people calling up like, oh, you gotta do it, like, nah. It's too many promotions involved. You know what I mean? If there was like one or two belts in the same company or something, they could do something, but no, like, but so to me, my other beef is that the fact that you, which again, we don't know what their plans actually are, but we assume the plan is that they're going to have her beat Chris Statlander at Full Gear. But my thing is, okay, if you were going to put that belt on Mercedes, then you should have just kept the belt on Toni Storm, who's already had an amazing long-term run, who's already established. And I'm not saying Chris Statlander's not established. Not saying that. But she's definitely not on the level of Toni Storm. I mean, I don't think she is. You know what I mean? So, I think they're both great, but I feel like Toni is, like, up there. You know what I mean? So I feel like had you done that, and then now you can have Mercedes not only win title number 13, but you can also have it that she was the one to end the streak of Toni Storm. I think that's fair, right? Because now Chris Statlander hasn't even had, I could be wrong. Or did she? No, well, she did. Well, she's had one. Okay, yeah, she just had her first title defense against Toni Storm. And she won, obviously. But, okay, this is only like her second title defense. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. So, I don't know. We've already spent too much time on that. We're going to come back to this again. We're going to come back to this again as we, because Full Gear is coming up here on what? November?
I think it's, I want to say 20, around the 24.
Oh, yeah. We got some time there. We got some time to see. And I mean, who knows about, dude, before then, maybe she's already won like five of the belts. I don't know. Hopefully not, bro. It's crazy, man. Like, it's ridiculous. But anyways, the last thing I want to talk about. So you had Sting, man. What? So here's the thing. So now here's the thing about this thing. There you go. But wait, check it out. But check it out, though, bro. So here's my thing, right? So the AEW guys are always like, and again, if you're new to my show, I'm not like pro WWE. I'm not pro anybody. I just love wrestling. So I'm not into the whole wrestling war thing. So when I say AEW, but I'm just saying because you do have some people who identify themselves as like pro AEW or whatever. So all the pro AEW guys are always like, oh, well, WWE is always trying to lean on all these older guys like your Goldbergs and your Undertakers or whoever else. But then, okay, then you guys bring back Sting. You know what I mean? And not only will you bring back Sting, but then I don't even know who that was. Because first of all, wait a minute, because he more came out there looking like Stung. Stung. He came out there looking like S-T-U-N-G. Because he came out there with the all white hair. And I'm just like, damn, they could have at least dyed the hair up or something. Like, I mean, it wasn't terrible, but I didn't expect him to come out like looking like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, damn. You know what I'm saying?
My thing, and that's what I said to my other friend. It's like, look, I understand this thing came back for the storyline.
Well, to help Darby Allin.
I get it, but I think Darby should have won that thing on his own by himself.
But how was he going to win? First of all, he's over here getting waterboarded in a aquarium. And then he's got, you know, all like every, like 50 members of the Death Riders in there. So there was no way he was going to win on his own. So I don't know where you got that from. What?
You know what?
Just for kicks, give us right now. Give us a scenario. So walk us through this. Okay, so Darby Allin wins this match on his own. Walk us through this. How does this happen?
So here's my thing. So he's the heart. I'm gonna take it back. So he's the heart and soul of AEW. So in the beginning of the match, right? You saw where he put down the AEW flag and Moxley stumped on it. And then he put it up under his feet and everything like that. That kind of gave me the clue, like, okay, that's your main person that's trying to lead AEW out this whole faction war type of deal. My thing is this. Sting, yeah, he could have been there. Right. All he had to do, in my opinion, was just give Darby the bat, whatever the case is, and then just let him go ham on all the members. And then get Moxley out, whatever he's going to do, do his maneuver on Moxley, his finisher, win the match like that. Would have been it right there.
Okay. Okay,
that's the way I.
That's fair. That's fair because I was thinking you were saying like Sting should have never just came up and then Darby's supposed to I don't know like get on some Dragon Ball Z shit and take a Senzu bean and come back or some shit like what? But I was like, what are you talking about? He's a, it's like a 5-on or whatever 4-on-1 or some shit like that.
I mean, Sting
could
have helped him.
Yeah.
Gave him the bat. That's what I'm
just wish that Sting would have helped him and not Stung. And not Stung looking like a 70-year-old senior citizen. Because I'm assuming, I mean, you know, that hair didn't go white overnight. I'm assuming that he was already in makeup getting it dyed all the time. So yeah. So they could have just dyed the hair again.
Yeah, because I was like, why is his hair all? Like that.
Even though, I mean, we've seen videos of him doing the contract signings and all this stuff like that, so we know that he. What is that? Somebody in the hallway doing some. No, I'm sorry. I got all types of stuff going on in my building tonight. But yeah, basically, we know that he. We've seen him in the contract signings with the white hair or whatever, so we know he has white hair. You know what I mean? So it ain't just that, you know? But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. They could at least just gave us a little younger looking Sting, but I guess they didn't care about that. Or like, I guess he wanted to, I mean, it was probably his call. He didn't look like terrible, but I was kind of surprised. I was like, oh, okay, you know.
Wait, yeah, I would like to get my whole scenario on the whole ending thing. I just thought, yeah, he could have gave him that bat and then let him go to work on all the members of Moxley's crew and then do that finisher and then call it a night. That's what I just.
Okay, that does make sense. So I'll give you that. I don't know, man. I don't like it. Tonight. You've been on point tonight, and I don't know if I like that. I don't know if I like that. That's twice you got me. So, anyways, that is all the time we have here. But we do thank everybody that has been here on IG Live with us tonight through all of our technical issues and shenanigans as usual. And also, we thank all of our audio listeners in podcast land. Thanks for shopping with us. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that like and subscribe so you can get notifications when new episodes are uploaded on whatever platform that you may use, whether that be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, this has been your boy, the Handsome Heel Trail, and my man, Jules Bell. Thank you for coming in. And until next time, we'll catch y'all later. Peace.